Welcome in. This is the FPC Chiefs podcast. I'm Braden Holacek, the managing editor for Full Press Coverage, Chiefs of FullPressCoverage.com. Coming to you guys on a Tuesday. Lot of Chiefs news to talk about, of course, today. We have a new signing at the wide receiver position from yesterday. We have our reaction today to the Chiefs loss Sunday to the Chargers, their second straight loss. First time the team's lost consecutive games since October of 2019, and the first time that Patrick Mahomes has been under 500 as quarterback of Kansas City. First time the team's been under 500 since 2015, the year they started 1-5 and then rattled off 10 straight wins to make the playoffs at 11-5 and get a playoff victory that year in Houston. So lot to dive into today. Obviously, we're going to focus on the biggest news that's on everybody's mind right away. We're going to dive right into it here. Josh Gordon has signed with the Kansas City Chiefs, a player that, you know, obviously has been suspended 5 or 6 different times for various reasons due to violations of the league substance abuse policy. He's been reinstated now once again. The news kind of broke late last week by Adam Schefter that he was, you know, going to be reinstated soon and possibly, you know, sign very quickly. And yeah, the news broke on Monday. It was not a big shock to me to see that the Chiefs were interested in Josh Gordon. I mean, they were probably more interested in him now more than they've ever been when he's been available over the last few years. But yeah, I mean, it's an incredible thing to see, because I like that the Chiefs went out and made this move. As we'll talk about, I mean, I don't think he's going to be a guy that's obviously going to be what he was, you know, back in 2013, 2018, you know, that stretch of play that he had with the Browns and a little bit with the Patriots. But I like this for the fact that the Chiefs were honest with themselves. You know, the wide receiver position outside of Tyreek Hill just has not been very reliable in the first 3 weeks. Inconsistent results. I like Byron Pringle, but he had some big drops on Sunday. DeMarcus Robinson really kind of continues to, you know, stick to the same role that he's been in for a few years. Doesn't really have much much new elevation really to help out his ceiling. So this was a move that I think needed to happen. And you look at what, you know, has kind of transpired the last couple weeks with the Ravens and Chiefs taking away Tyreek Hill a lot with double teams, and Travis Kelce is really the only guy that's been able to consistently beat man coverage. So, you know, we'll kind of dive into Josh Gordon and his time in his career. But I think you look at what he brings to the table right now. I mean, he's always been a guy that has been able to separate against one-on-one coverage, against press coverage at the line of scrimmage. And that's huge for the Chiefs, because we knew that's something they wanted a little more of this offseason. They tried to bring in Juju Smith-Schuster, for example. They were unsuccessful there as he went back to Pittsburgh. You know, they drafted Cornell Powell, who obviously not as developed, not as good as Josh Gordon is right now. But, you know, that kind of skill set, that's what the team was looking for all offseason. And of course, you know, that bigger body and body type. I mean, I think Josh Gordon's, he's like 6'3", 225. So, I mean, that's something the Chiefs have just not had a lot in recent years at the position. And you look at him, you know, what he's been throughout his entire career, whether it's been in Cleveland, New England, Seattle, he's a guy that has routinely won outside the numbers. He can push it vertical up the field. And he's a guy that has tremendous separation mixed in with kind of this patient body control in his route running. And when the ball's in the air, he has, you know, sound hands, a very large catch radius. This is, I think, the perfect kind of receiver that the Chiefs needed to go out and get, whether, you know, it was before the season or right now, you know, when they're kind of experiencing some of their lower points earlier in the season. So, you know, he's a guy throughout his career yards per reception number 17.2, his yards per target number 9.2. Those are pretty consistent throughout his entire career. I mean, other than I think it was 2014, I think was the only year where he did not average more than 14 or 15 yards per reception during a single season. So a guy that can line up out wide. I mean, he's lined up out wide in the offensive formation 87% of his career. And he's a guy that not just can win outside the numbers, but we've seen him win deep and over the middle of the field as well. And you talk about Kansas City and guys not being able to consistently beat man coverage. Tyreek Hill, as good as he is, taking the top off of the defense, he's a guy that usually has to win on deeper routes from the middle of the field, you know, lining up in the slot, or he comes across the field, you know, over the deep middle part. For Patrick Mahomes, you look at guys like Mecole Hardman, who is very similar to Tyreek Hill, you know, a guy that can win from the slot, can win on those deep over routes. But I think you get a little bit more versatility with Josh Gordon from where he can win on the field. I think you get a little bit more of, you know, just like we said, you know, with our Josh Gordon article that came out earlier today on Tuesday. If you guys check that out, you saw it there. But he's a guy that, I mean, he's a guy that you don't necessarily need him to produce like 100 yards every week. He's a guy that if he produces 60 to 70 yards every week, that's a plus for the Kansas City Chiefs. Because right now, this football team, they need a guy that can hit a home run, even if it's one or two good plays a game. They need that guy that can be reliable on hitting that big play. And he's hit chunk play after chunk play throughout his career with any team that he's been with, any quarterback that he's been with. And I think that's a positive for somebody like Patrick Mahomes and obviously head coach Andy Reid as well, who is somebody that likes to push the ball deep. I mean, that's one of the Chiefs' struggles right now is, you know, teams are kind of taking away those deeper throws and the underneath stuff is just not, you know, in sync right now. But I think, like we said, I mean, it's kind of interesting when you look at what Sammy Watkins brought to the table, you know, being able to win on third down. And he's a guy that wasn't always healthy, but when he was on the field, he was a reliable guy that you knew he was going to separate. You knew he was going to be kind of that underneath blanket piece. And I think Josh Gordon's a very similar guy in terms of his play style with a little bit bigger build. So that's kind of what he can bring to the table. And what made this really, really interesting when the report came out on why he chose the Kansas City Chiefs, ESPN's Adam Schefter says that Gordon received interest from multiple teams around the league, but one of the attractions of playing for Kansas City was because he views this as a potential long-term stop. Now, that's not just really eye-opening from Josh Gordon's perspective. That's eye-opening from a Chiefs perspective. I mean, let's be honest. 2022 Chiefs wide receiver room, it's anybody's guess right now what that's going to look like. Demarcus Robinson, you know, this is second straight year that he was re-signed to a one-year deal. Byron Pringle, Marcus Kemp, Tyrese Fountain, you know, those guys are only signed through this year as well. So wide receiver is going to be a need for this team regardless next season, whether Josh Gordon's in this building next year or not. And you know, I think that's really eye-opening that, you know, a little bit older receiver, 30-year-old guy, you know, we've seen guys struggle to really gel and fit into Andy Reid's offense right away at the wide receiver position in recent years. But Josh Gordon, having that experience, having that, you know, consistent pedigree of creating chunk plays, being a reliable target down the field when you want to push it vertical, you know, you kind of take out that worry a little bit, I think. You know, I mean, of course, he's going to need time to get in shape and learn the Chiefs playbook. Like they said, he's going to be signed to the practice squad initially before he's elevated up to the active roster. But I think you look at him, he's a guy that with how consistently he's won as a one-on-one guy, he's a guy I think that could step in right away. And like we said, just be a reliable piece. That's all you have to do. And I think Josh Gordon is very capable of that. Now, of course, your best ability is availability, right? And it's really interesting. I don't think that Josh Gordon is going to come in and obviously be like all pro. I don't think he's going to be somebody that's going to get, you know, a big target share in the Chiefs offense. But like we said with, you know, just a little bit ago, if he plays that similar role that Sammy Watkins did of being a guy underneath and on third down that can separate, you know, that's going to be interesting to see how long that lasts. And again, we just mentioned that he kind of views this as a long-term stop, so it doesn't look like it's going to be a one-year rental thing right now. And I will say, you know, people have kind of said it, that part of his violation of the substance abuse policy in the past was due to weed and marijuana. So the league really doesn't test for that anymore. And of course, there have been other factors that led to his suspensions in the past. PEDs were part of his one of his most recent ones when he was with Seattle. So there is other factors that are involved, right? And of course, I'm rooting for Josh Gordon. I mean, ever since, you know, just the story we received and kind of heard of what he really kind of worked on in New England, you know, I've been rooting for this guy. So I'm rooting for him, but right, it's a massive question mark on what you're going to get from him, you know, week to week. So again, I'm excited about the signing. I think it's one of those moves that is important for this Kansas City Chiefs football team, because right now, right, this offense, I mean, we said it all offseason. I don't think it's any surprise. This is the worst group of weapons that Patrick Mahomes has had, you know, in the early part of his career. You got to continue to surround one of the best quarterbacks in the league with as good of weapons as you can. I think Brett Veach understands that. I think that's why I commend him for being honest and going out and making a move right now this early in the season, because like we said, he's going to need time to acclimate, and it's going to be a little while, probably at least 2 or 3 weeks before he's ready to be elevated from the practice squad. And you know, we've seen even in other years, last year or two, you know, with Watkins having the injuries, or you know, certain guys below him and Tyreek Hill not bringing in good performances, this team has missed out on chances to bring guys in the last couple of years. Now, of course, they made the Super Bowl the last 2 years, so it's not like it hindered them as much as it could have. But I think this year, that's an important move. You know, get him in shape, get him rolling the next couple of weeks and see what he can produce. You know, like I said, it doesn't have to be, you know, 8 catches a game. If he makes 2 catches a game and it extends drives or it creates chunk plays, I think he's doing his job. So it really is going to be interesting to see how well the Chiefs can kind of use his skill set, because like we said, they just have not had a guy like this with this type of body and this play style in a little while. So it's really going to be interesting with how much teams are playing man coverage right now against the Kansas City Chiefs. So yeah, really excited about the Josh Gordon signing. I mean, again, I don't think it's going to be all pro Josh Gordon coming into the building, but every time that we have seen him step on a football field, you know, whether that's Cleveland, New England, or Seattle, he's had success. So I think it's a positive move. It's a low risk move as well for Kansas City. I mean, I don't think it's quite to the same degree, but somebody mentioned it to me the other day. You know, if the Chiefs were to make this move, is it similar to Antonio Brown last year in Tampa Bay? I don't think it's quite to the same level, but I think it gives, you know, those top guys, Kelce and Hill, a little bit of relief on the offense. And I think it's another move as well that extends Patrick Mahomes a little bit for this season, where he's, you know, going through a little bit of altering with his play style right now inside the pocket, you know, when to use the scramble, when not to, and when to improvise. You know, he's altering some of that this year. So this is an important move, I think, in a positive way for the Kansas City Chiefs. So if you guys want more of my thoughts on the Josh Gordon signing, of course, go check out the article from earlier today on Tuesday at fullpresscoverage.com. And please go check that out. I mean, it was a fun piece to write looking back on Josh Gordon's career. You know, I knew he had that 2013 season where he led the league in receiving, 1,646 yards. To do that in just 14 games is another pretty amazing feat. And I did not realize until I looked back on that 2013 season of his, he had back-to-back 200-yard receiving games, becoming the first player in NFL history, first wide receiver in NFL history to have back-to-back regular season games with at least 200 receiving yards. So it's crazy that I think that 2013 season is definitely It's been notable, but I don't think it's been given as much credit as it was for its time, you know, with the Browns, their whole quarterback situation at that point, and, you know, just being able to be the reliable guy he was back then. So, again, go check out the Josh Gordon piece there from earlier today on Tuesday if you guys want more of my thoughts on the signing. But another part of this podcast episode today, we're going to have to react to the Chiefs' loss Sunday against the LA Chargers. And I'll be honest, I mean, this was a game that I definitely thought it was going to be tight. You know, I was encouraged with how the defense started the game for Kansas City. The front seven, I mean, all day long really was doing a good job of flying around, not missing assignments, tackled a lot better, of course, than they did in the Baltimore game. And I think that's maybe why, I mean, as close and as tough of a loss as this was, I think just seeing the front seven play better in the defense, you know, not make as many just easy mistakes or simple mistakes, I think that's why this loss, just coming off of it, doesn't feel quite as bad. Now, of course, it's not good. You know, you never want to lose the game, and you have two straight losses now in your division. You're two games behind both the Raiders and Broncos. But like I said, I think there was some better improvements made in this game that at least made it a little more, you know, I think something that you can take away from this game and learn from and build off of it, you know, compared to what you had in the Ravens loss, where I think, you know, you really had to go and adjust and fine tune and really ask yourself, you know, how much changes are we going to have to make? So, you know, as far as the top five things that I think we learned from this game, I mean, again, credit goes to the Chargers. They had a great game plan. You know, it's funny how we just kind of talked about Josh Gordon and his ability to beat man coverage. I mean, Mike Williams and Keenan Allen all day long. I mean, there was some plays that there was actually pretty good coverage, and Allen just, you know, snatched it right out of the defender's, you know, grasp. Or, you know, Mike Williams, just the ability to separate like he does, he's really grown into his own right now. And, you know, Mike Hughes and Daniel Sorensen, you know, they got lost in space a lot in this game. We just saw Justin Herbert, you know, he was going right at the spots that he continued to hit on earlier in the game, you know, late when they needed those big plays, you know, going after Hughes and Sorensen man coverage. I mean, the separation was there, easy to fit the ball into for Justin Herbert. I did think DeAndre Baker played a good game. You know, I thought the pass interference call at the end there, 4th and 9, was kind of BS, but, you know, I mean, it is what it is. I think that, you know, overall, it's just one of those things in the past. I mean, we saw it Super Bowl last year. The Chiefs are going to play man coverage and try to do it physically. So it's just how much can he get away with? Again, I thought it was a bad call. You know, the replay wasn't even shown, but it is what it is. I think the positive for DeAndre Baker is he showed that he shouldn't be a healthy and active like he was the first 2 weeks. I mean, his man coverage ability is one of the best on the team right now among the quarterbacks, especially with Jarvarius Ward out like he was on Sunday with the quad injury. But yeah, I mean, going back to the things we learned, I think the Chiefs beat themselves. Again, credit goes to the Chargers. They did play a good game, but, you know, you take away those four turnovers, the Chiefs probably score 30 or even 40 points in this game without that. You know, they had the they had their turnovers, their first two, you know, were within the Chargers 30-yard line. You know, the fumble that Clyde Edwards-Helaire had, and I know he fumbled again. Is it an issue right now? Is it not? You know, that was a play, again, on the Chargers' end of the field, closer to like the 40, but that was a play. It was a crippling time for it based off the first two turnovers, but I actually liked that effort by Clyde on that play. He was running hard, which he did all day long, and that's the thing that was tough about the fumble, you know, two straight weeks with one for Clyde. But I thought this was his best game of the year, so I love the performance from Clyde Edwards-Helaire. But again, the four turnovers, you know, they beat themselves. They struggled a little bit in this game, again, in the red zone on defense. I thought late in the game when the Chargers were forced to settle for the field goal, that was one of their best red zone stands of the season, of course. But, you know, other than that, there was still a lot of underneath routes that were open for Justin Herbert to dump it off to Austin Eckler. And we talked about the separation from Mike Williams or Keenan Allen. I mean, those outside throws for Justin Herbert were way easier than they needed to be. So red zone defense, turnovers, I think the Chiefs beat themselves in this one once again. And that's a thing that's been pretty clear for a lot of Kansas City's losses lately, other than Super Bowl 55. They beat themselves generally more than anything. And again, credit goes to the Chargers, but I think this is a performance that it's pretty simple to look at what, you know, worked and what didn't work in this game. Another thing I think we learned, I mean, Patrick Mahomes, he just looked uncomfortable on Sunday. I thought this was one of his worst games in a while. You know, just in the pocket, was a little antsy. You know, he was off a lot on his decision making as far as, you know, just I think looking for certain parts of the field to attack. You know, he was trying, I think, too often to hit over the middle to the deeper portion when some plays that were, you know, crossing to the outside part of the field on the opposite end, or, you know, throws to the outside, they were there. I mean, we saw Tyreek Hill on a couple of outer routes. You know, he got wins there for a first down. And there was a couple plays where I thought it looked like Byron Pringle or even Travis Kelce, you know, some of the times where they were not targeted, looked like they were going to win on like a deep crosser. And it just, you know, Mahomes, whether it was a timing thing or just not seeing it, based off how the defense was aligned, he kind of missed some of those, I thought, on Sunday. But, you know, and I'll be honest, you know, if it wasn't for the couple of interceptions, I thought his second half was actually pretty good. A lot better decision making than the first half, a little bit more, you know, I think better reaction with his time clock. There were still some issues in the second half, but again, I think just those quicker throws and stepping up, you know, into the pocket more or not dropping back quite as far, I thought we saw some of that a little more in the second half from Mahomes. But again, forced a lot of passes into coverage that he didn't need to. Like I said, I mean, he's kind of altering his gameplay right now, and I think he's still learning with how defenses are playing him right now. Currently, I think he's learning how to use his improvisation and when to use it at the right time. So that's something that he's readjusting to right now. But yeah, I mean, he just looked uncomfortable. I didn't think the offensive line really was horrible by any means. I mean, Lucas Niang certainly had a tough day with Joey Bosa, but I thought for the most part, pass blocking, you know, they held their own. I didn't think they made a lot of mistakes or bad reads on Sunday. But yeah, I think the front seven we kind of talked about already. But yeah, I mean, I think you look at the winners and losers for me from this game. I mean, outside of the front seven, Travis Kelce just continues to be the reliable guy. And we talked about it with Josh Gordon. You know, hopefully you got another reliable target coming in. But in crucial situations, it's crazy how often Travis Kelce, you know, his plays just look similar over and over again. You know, even when he doesn't create a lot of separation, he has the inside leverage. He's able to shake off the defender, pick up yards after the catch. He had 14.9 yards per reception on Sunday. A lot of plays where it looked like it was going to be a difficult catch, and he came up with it, making it look super easy. So he continues to roll at a high level to open his season. Like I said, I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire had his best game of the season. He was running hard, but at the same time using patience to really read blocks and continue to move north up the field. So running with that confidence and control that he had Sunday, if he keeps that up and cuts out those fumbles, I think he'll be fine. But again, it's just knowing, you know, can you trust that week to week, and you know, what kind of usage is he going to get? It felt like the Chiefs and Andy Reid were really wanting to get him a lot of work on Sunday, and you know, it paid off. 5.9 yards per carry on the ground, and he also had a well-executed screen pass for a touchdown catch. So I thought Clyde Edwards-Helaire played really well on Sunday outside of that fumble. We touched on Baker a little bit already. I thought some losers, though, for this game for the Chiefs outside of Mahomes that we already touched on, I think the rest of the secondary, right? I mean, as good as L'Jarius Sneed was last year, we have not really seen him emerge yet this season. He had a bad penalty late in this game where, you know, the Chiefs pass rush, you know, which has struggled to open the season. They had a rare good rush on Justin Herbert, forcing him to make a quick throw, and the play was basically, you know, had no chance of being a completion. It had no chance of being a score, and L'Jarius Sneed, you know, kind of just ran through the receiver. That's a very bad penalty that was taken there. Mike Hughes, again, just has really not been effective at all. I mean, he could be a lot worse than he's been right now, but on those crucial plays, like, you know, just getting lost in coverage, it's simple things like that time and time again right now that is ailing him. So the rest of the secondary, they have a lot to improve on right now. I mean, especially when the front seven played as well as they did, this was a game I thought, again, you have the turnovers on offense that the Chiefs had, but I thought this was a game, how they played defensively, this is usually a game they should win. But the secondary, that's been a weak point compared to what it was middle to late last season. You know, Byron Pringle, Marcus Kemp, a couple of other guys that I thought were losers in this game. Kemp, you know, a guy that primarily a special teamer, had the pass go off his hands for the Asante Samuel Jr. interception, the first of the four Chiefs turnovers. Now, I get it. Patrick Mahomes, he's got to place that ball a little bit better, but that's a play where other receivers on this team can probably catch it, and if they don't score, they're going to come very close. So that was not a great result, obviously, for Marcus Kemp, and a rare target for him. And Byron Pringle, again, I mean, I like him. I think he's got, you know, a little bit more deserving of getting more targets, but, you know, Sunday, it just was not his day. 2 of 6 on the day as far as receptions. 2 receptions out of his 6 targets, and he dropped one of Mahomes' better passes of the day, deep middle part of the field, on that last drive. It could have gave the Chiefs a lot more breathing room as far as, you know, one last shot at the end zone at the end of the game to try to win it. So if he makes that catch, I really would have been interested to see how that would have played out. But tough drop on the day for Pringle, man. He struggled to separate a little more this game than he did in the Baltimore one. So that increased opportunity for him in snaps, it was a back and forth day for him for sure. So those are kind of the winners and losers that I had personally from this game, and my top things that I thought we learned. Again, if you guys want to go check out my Chiefs Chargers game recap or game reaction article from Monday, be sure to go to Full Press Coverage and check that out. Also, we got more FPC Chiefs articles coming out the rest of this week as we turn our attention towards Andy Reid's old team and the Philadelphia Eagles. It's pretty crazy to think he's already facing them for the third time now this Sunday as coach of the Kansas City Chiefs. So he's 2-0 against them, of course, so far, and his second time that he'll get to play him in Philadelphia this Sunday. So really, really interesting team. We're going to dive into our opponent overview of them tomorrow on Wednesday. So be on the lookout for that article. Of course, we'll also dive into some key matchups that I'm looking forward to between the Chiefs and Eagles later this week. And stay tuned for the game preview article and podcast episode right here as well. So a lot to still get to this week for the Chiefs, but so far, pretty eventful week with the Josh Gordon signing. Really glad to give our thoughts on that here. And like I said, with the Josh Gordon article, go check out that as well from today on Tuesday for the rest of our thoughts on the Josh Gordon move. And yeah, of course, you guys can follow us on Twitter at FPC_Chiefs. Follow myself at BradenHolacek9 with the number 9 at the end. If you guys want to follow some of the main NFL accounts on Full Press Coverage on Twitter, follow at Full Press NFL or at FP_Coverage. If you guys want daily video content on Full Press Coverage, FPC Radio Live, weekday mornings, 9 a.m. Eastern, 8 a.m. Central Time. Ian Glendon does a tremendous job, so be sure to check him out. You guys can search Full Press Coverage on YouTube, Facebook, or various Twitter account articles like we mentioned to find that. Of course, if you guys want to follow our FPC NFL Sunday coverage as well, not just Sunday mornings at 10 a.m. Eastern, 9 a.m. Central with myself, Ian, and other various hosts, but we usually have a preview Thursdays before Thursday Night Football, so I'm sure we'll be back on here, in a couple of days, Thursday evening before Jacksonville and Cincinnati kick off week four. We're also going to have a little bit more content as well with our reaction to Sunday's coverage between myself and Ian Glendon. So stay tuned for that. Be on the lookout for all of it here on Full Press Coverage. And like I said, FPC Chiefs, more articles on the way this week. So stay tuned. Everyone enjoy the rest of your Tuesday, and we will see you guys next time.